today. Hello, everybody. This is Josh Price, and you are listening to the Mark Price for Three podcast. Each episode, my dad will be talking NBA basketball, sharing some coaching and instruction, and of course, talking about his faith. Without further delay, here's my dad, Mark Price.
Thank you for listening to the Mark Price for Three podcast. This is Aaron. Mark and I both hope you're having a wonderful holiday season. We're just a few days away from Christmas and then New Year's not long after that. So today we're putting together a greatest hits package. This is our gift to you for those that listen and those that have never listened. If you've never listened, you'll get a small sampling of what the podcast is like. I've tried to put together some of the clips from just the last few months. And we, again, hope you have a wonderful holiday season. Mark and I are actually going to take Christmas and New Year's off, and then we will be back with episode 62 in the brand new year. Happy holidays to all of you. Merry Christmas, and we hope you enjoy today's episode.
We're blessed and honored to have Aaron Kraft join us today, and Aaron's a legend at OSU.
And it's a really honor. It's a big honor to come on the show. Obviously, the other guys and people you've had on the podcast are people that are really solid just people, but also have made an impact with their faith. So to be with that group, I'm excited, and we'll talk about some fun things today.
The thing I learned about, you know, the state of Ohio and the Cavaliers fans and is that once you perform and once they see how much you care and the effort, it's like you have fans forever and they're loyal and they pull for you. And I didn't even know much about the Cavaliers when I got there. I've shared that many times, but man, I mean, I loved my time playing in Cleveland, and to this day, I'm back up doing five camps in Ohio this summer because people like to see me come back. And, you know, it's fun kind of connecting with the next generation, kids that don't even know who I was, you know, till after the camp's over, but their parents have told them about me. So, it's just a unique in a lot of ways. You know, I go to different parts of the country. I live in Atlanta. I played at Georgia Tech, and I can walk around and hardly anybody knows who I am. But, you know, I go to Ohio and everybody remembers. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I'm obviously a little different. I grew up here, have been here, you know, my whole life. So I've been part of the Ohio State fan base for a while, especially with the football team and just my dad being a coach growing up and that kind of thing. But, one of the things Coach Mott always said as like almost a recruiting pitch, but once we got here too, he would always tell us, you know, if you give the university, you know, all that you have, and if you do it the right way, you will have people in your corner for life. And it always just sounds like, you know, what you want to hear as a player, and you're 18 right. and 19 and you know that it sounds good, but you don't really appreciate it until you're done. And obviously I'm done now, just kind of on to the next chapter of my life. But some of my favorite encounters with the patients that I get to run into are they want to talk about basketball. And I think one of the other really cool things about it is as a player, and I don't know if this is the same for you, Mark, but I remember laying on the ground after my last game because I missed the shot, or I remember the game I had 8 turnovers and we got beat by 30. These fans, they may bring that up, but they always want to talk about, man, that one time you dove on the floor, I was right there, or that one shot that you hit. So they always remember the highlights. And so that's always fun to relive too. And obviously being here in Columbus, the same thing happens, you know, kids that are about 10 years old, they have no clue. but the parents, the grandparents, those conversations are a lot of fun. And they're trying to let their kids know, and it's been great, and I've been super appreciative of it because again, I don't think I really thought about it until I was done, and Coach was right.
All right, I tell you, I don't know how many people on a Monday get to sit with a four-time NBA All-Star and one of Christian music's hottest singers right now, a guy that has a song that went 5 weeks at number one, but I get to do that today, so I'm gonna fanboy out a little bit. Mark, how are you? Micah, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good, Aaron. And Micah, we're welcome to our podcast, man. We really appreciate you coming on.
Oh my gosh. Super stoked. Wouldn't rather be anywhere else on a Monday. So thanks for having me, guys. you really have to remember that the main thing has to just stay the main thing, no matter what you're doing. I tell people all the time, when I stepped out to do this full time, it wasn't because we had a tour bus picking us up. It wasn't because we had a record deal with a record label ready to sign me, or we had, you know, a full set of shows on a tour that we were ready to run out and go do. Like, it wasn't that thing. For me, whenever I was 17 years old, felt the calling to go into ministry. I had a youth pastor make a huge impact on my life. Was raised in a Christian home, started dating a girl named Casey my senior year of high school. We've been married for, it'll be 20 years this February. And so, but whenever we graduated from high school, her grandfather was the chairman of the deacons at this little Baptist church, like literally a mile from where I grew up. And they needed a youth director. It wasn't even like a youth pastor, just basically somebody who's like, hey, can you feed these kids pizza and make sure they don't tear things off the wall? And I was like, yeah, I guess they could be the first job. So I ran in there and preached my guts out and started loving these kids. And honestly, the youth groups started growing. And this was a church praying 120 people on a Sunday morning. And all of a sudden we had 30 kids coming to this youth group. And I started going, okay, what should I do to make these nights feel special and like really involve some more kids? So I thought, oh, I know, I'll go buy a guitar. And one of the kids in the youth group should learn to play it. They can lead a couple of songs before I preach. And that way we're getting them involved and the nights feel kind of special. So we went out and bought this cheap guitar, and none of the kids in the youth group wanted to learn how to play it. This was before YouTube, where you could have someone teach you how to do it. And, you know, you kind of just had to pull out a book, which is like, for those younger listeners who are listening right now, a book is like the internet you can hold in your hand. And so, no. So I thought, I guess I should learn how to play this guitar because no one in my family is musical. And so I started like learning a few worship songs, and it turned into me leading those songs on Wednesday nights for the kids. And then I started like having buddies call me up, and they just knew that I would be cheap. I mean, and lead worship for their group. They wouldn't have to afford, as I was told many times, like, we're so glad that you're coming in and doing this because we can't afford to bring in like a real band. And I didn't know what a real band was in comparison. Like, I felt like Pinocchio. Like, I just wanted to be a real boy too, you know? And so I just started leading worship for friends. And really at 27, I'd been playing guitar for about 7 years and singing a little bit and leading. And again, it wasn't because God laid out the next, you know, 12 years of doing this full time. It really just felt like faithfulness. Like, and I remember that was my prayer. I said, God, I don't know how to do this professionally. Like, I just felt like the Lord was calling me to trust him with music and to step out and just to be available to whatever he would have me do.
What does it mean to be in the Hall of Fame? When you look at your career and you look at the championships or holding a trophy at the end of the season or a Hall of Fame, which one holds more weight for you? Would it be the Hall of Fame or would it be a championship trophy?
Well, I think definitely a championship trophy would be way heavier for me. I think everybody plays to try to win a championship. And I think, you know, getting in the Hall of Fame is kind of after you've had a career and you've had such a career that people consider you to be probably one of the best that's ever done it. So that's just kind of icing on the cake. But I think every person's dream is to win a championship. I think that would be number one.
Is it possible that sitting there next week, or, you know, whenever this airs, when people hear it, and seeing your brother recognized for his accomplishments and knowing who he is that maybe one of the most important achievements that you have as a brother?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Like I said, he's had to watch a lot of me getting praise over the years, kind of being the older brother, setting the standard, getting put in the Hall of Fame here and there. And Monday night's going to be his night, and where he's going to get a chance to everybody get to say how great he is. And he is. He was a great player, one of the best to ever play, you know, at the University of Oklahoma, and going to a great NBA career. So, you know, I'm really, really proud of him for all that. But just going back to what we started with, just the fact, the kind of person that he is, that he's getting lifted up.
Yeah.
And I always think about the verse is, you know, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you at the proper time. And so Brent's done that. He's been faithful, and God's decided that on Monday night, it's time for him to get exalted. You know, I was blessed to have parents that love God and that trained us up in the way we should go. But that being said, they still weren't perfect. And I think no matter what you've been through in your past, I just know, and I don't understand it, I don't know that we ever will. That'll be another question we can ask.
That's right.
Know,
that's right.
The power that forgiveness has, mm-hmm. and the healing power. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, what, how bad it hurts or whatever your situation's coming from, you know, mm-hmm. if you can pray and if you can somehow forgive, you might be amazed at what God can do through that.
Through the podcast, you've answered a lot of questions, but I still have more questions. So today I thought we would ask 20 questions and then finish with 5 of your favorite verses. That way we add up to 25, because it always has to come back to 25, right?
It does, man. It's a circle of life.
It's a circle. There you go. All right, let's start right at the beginning. Richfield Coliseum or Gund Arena, now called Rocket Mortgage?
Well, that's a pretty easy one for me, because I played 8 of my 9 years at Richfield Coliseum. Yeah. The first year used to be Gund Arena, which is Rocket Mortgage now. But I loved Richfield Coliseum. It was just, there was something special about it. It was out in the middle of nowhere. I know the other teams hated coming there, so it was a great home court advantage.
Yeah.
And I also lived in Hudson, Ohio, which was like a 10-minute drive down 303.
Yeah.
Georgefield. So it was a great setup, a great, great environment, especially early on. You know, it was a little weak just because of the history of the Cavs when we got there. But once we kind of got things going and started making the playoffs, I mean, that place was rocking.
Rocking. Christmas Day games. Did you guys ever play in one?
Once, because we weren't a high media market back then, there was only kind of one game or maybe one East Coast game, one West Coast game. And it was always like the Lakers and the Celtics were involved, or the Bulls, or, you know, those kind of teams. But one year, for some reason, we played on Christmas Day in Atlanta, of all places. We played against the Hawks. And so that was strange for me, being in Atlanta and actually having to be in a hotel on Christmas Eve.
Right.
You know, but so that was a little strange. I didn't like it, honestly. I didn't like playing on Christmas Day. Unfortunately, we only had to do it once. But now they have, what, 7-8 games on Christmas Day?
Yeah, I mean, it's a full day. It's a full day.
I mean, yeah. So, that's definitely changed as well.
Do you mind sharing some of the stuff your dad would say from back in the day?
Yeah, for sure. It was fun because I got my brothers involved, and we kind of had a text back and forth thing of, you know, hey, give me some good ones dad said to you. And a lot of them were the same, and, you know, some were different. One of my favorite ones, and Brent sent me this, and it's true. Whenever we'd be at a basketball camp or running a camp and a kid would get hurt, you know, and be down on the floor, my dad's favorite thing to say, he'd walk up and kids got, you know, tears in their eyes or whatever. And my dad would say, well, you know, the good thing is it'll feel good when it quits hurting. And so, and the kids would always just kind of look at him, because they, you know, it takes a while to process that, you know what I'm saying? And, but then they'd quit crying and get up and go on, you know, feels good when it quits hurting. Larry Nance tells people all the time that the big guys on our team used to fight to like go set the screen for me, because they knew the teams would, because of my shooting, they knew the teams were going to double team me or blitz me or whatever, which meant they were going to be open after they set the screen and I was going to get them the ball, and they knew I would get them the ball. And so that goes to your point, is Larry was willing to come set a good screen, you know, team game for me, knowing that if he was open, I was going to get him the ball. And that's both using both of our skill sets, individual skill sets in a team environment, and making it work.
How long is the average NBA practice from your time playing and then also?
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting now. Yeah, I would say probably, I would imagine most teams now, because I don't think, I could be wrong, you know, I could be corrected on this, but I don't think a lot of teams do 2-a-days anymore.
Okay.
We used to do 2-a-days for like 2 weeks, you know, when I was playing. We typically had like 2 weeks before we had our first preseason game. So we'd practice in the morning and then we'd practice in the evening for 2 weeks. And so that gave us obviously, you know, another 7 practices. And so, but I do think, I don't know if some teams still do that somewhat, but I think most teams have gone to one longer practice, like a 3-hour type practice, or, you know, do more things in one practice. But yeah, it's a lot. And I think that's why, you know, young guys in particular, there's a lot guys that have been in the league, understand it and are able to pick up on things quicker. It just happens for guys that are rookies, all these rookies that, you know, are coming in from college, and it's going to be an eye opener because they're going to get so much stuff thrown at them in a short amount of time.
We both could not think of a better guest to join us for episode 51 than Cavs beat writer Sam Amico of HoopsWire.com. What's something that God has been doing in your life since the last time you were on?
You know, it's funny that you asked that, because since the last time I was on, yeah, there were 3 things that I was really struggling with, you know, and I didn't know that they were going to go away. And part of that truly was my business, my website, you know, is this the right thing to do? What am I doing? How do I best approach it? So I spent a lot of time in prayer and frustration over that. And that probably about the time that I was on with Mark was when, shortly thereafter anyway, was when it really kind of reached its peak. And, you know, you would never know it by talking to me, I don't think. I never really talked about it to anybody else. But inwardly, that was a great thing in terms of frustration. It was a great source of frustration. But I think at one point, Aaron, you know, I just decided let's hand this over to God and turn this over to God. As so often, you know, so many things that we cling to, we don't want to hand it over to God because it's like, I'll handle this. And he probably doesn't care about a basketball website, you know, but in reality, since then, and since my decision to cover the Cavs, and even before then, I've really seen him working in my life in that area. And, you know, and that doesn't mean, you know, he's giving me all sorts of money, but there's definitely a sense of peace and a sense that I'm doing it right and approaching it right and tackling it right. And, you know, that he has a big hand in that.
You know, I think today people in some sense, it's like we want to go to church and we want to be accepted, right? We want to be loved, and that's and yeah, the church is supposed to do those things. We are to accept people to come. We want people to come to love people in. But and when I said I expect to be convicted, because our pastors, I was fortunate to sit under really strong biblical teaching when I was growing up, and so they were just preaching God's word, and God's word does the convicting. I mean, the Holy Spirit's the one that's working on your heart. And so, you know, because I knew my heart, I knew the things that I struggle with, and we all do. And as you're growing up and the different things that sins that are enticing and whatever it might be. And so, yeah, church, I knew that God was going to tell me what I needed to fix.
Yeah.
you know, and so that was kind of the mindset. And so I think that mindset in some sense has changed. We don't want to be convicted. We want to be told that we're okay. And yes, we are okay in the fact that Jesus loves us just as we are. But I love the phrase is that he loves us too much to let us stay that way.
Starting with Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says there's a time for everything and a season for everything, activity under the heavens. There's a long list of things after that verse, a time to be born, a time to die, much more there. But what are your thoughts on just new beginnings in that scripture?
Well, as you know, as a Christian, you know, my favorite verse, and you'd mentioned that one as well, as 2 Corinthians 5:17, that anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. Behold, the old things are passed away and all things are new. And I think that more than anything else speaks to the newness, the scripture refers to, it's a term, you must be born again, you know, it's like starting over. You're born again, you come, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and your sins are forgiven. You become a new person and you're a new creation. Now you're no longer calling the shots for yourself, but you're looking at God's word. You're praying. You're looking for what does God want me to do, you know, and learning to walk his path and not our path. And so that's, you know, just a beautiful picture of being a new creation. They give us in that verse. And it really is. I mean, he puts his spirit within us, which we didn't have before. And it's just, we see things differently. You know, he brings light to things that maybe we didn't see before. And so it's just amazing. It really is a newness of life. You know, it's a picture of, you know, the baptism, right, is a right. physical thing, but it's a picture of what's happened spiritually.
You know, you mentioned your dad. I've mentioned my mom. They both had a huge role in both of our lives. You know, for me, it was my mom, just a huge impact. And in her passing, and you've seen this with your dad too, in their passing, you see the ripple of the life that they lived, the lives they impacted for Christ, their witness. And honestly, for me, Mark, when I look at it and I think back on her life, I lost two of my best friends in college in a car accident instantly. And I see that as well. And so when I see those, and I don't mean to be morbid in this conversation, I just, when we see that, we have a choice. When we see how did they impact people, we have a choice to make at that point. Regardless of what our life was in the past, what our life will be moving forward from their passing is up to us. We can choose to really dive in and lean into the opportunity that we have to leave the impact that they left on us, because it is brief. I don't know. None of us know our days, but we do know how we can treat people and how we can honor people and how, honestly, how we can just introduce people to Jesus. I can't save anybody, but he can.
I think in a worldly sense, when people begin to praise you, so to speak,
right?
Man, that was really, you know, whether it be on the basketball court, but maybe, you know, they hear you sing at church and they praise you for that, or they hear this or they praise you, you know, it's our natural, you know, earthly bodies are subjected to this, you know, battle against sin constantly. And so we can get full of ourselves, you know, it's not hard to do at times. And yet to me, it's just always been, I've tried to one, realize that God has given you that gift for a purpose.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that for his glory. It's not mine. It's something that he's given me to use. You know, I think in the same sense that, you know, whatever monetary things that we have or whatever the things that they're gifts that God has given us. And I think as long as we can remember who the giver of the gift is, now, you know, focus on the giver of the gift. Don't focus on the gift.
You know, you put a podcast out in the world. Podcasting is just such a thing. And I could have a whole episode on that, but podcasting is weird because there's 5 million of them. Literally, it's just a weird thing. And so when you put episodes kind of out there in the interwebs and you don't know who or why, or, you know, it's a faceless audience for the most part, and you just don't know, like, what are we doing? And so you and I determined early on, we're doing it for that one. And I say that because when we get a message from that one person, that mom, that dad, that former, you know, player, a fan of yours, a former intramural champion, whatever it might be, it means a lot. And it really does. It makes you very thankful that this is why I do it. And because we know we're putting something out in the world that's positive. And I think in the world we live in today, anything you can put out in the world that's positive is a good thing.
Point made. I mean, it's, we are to forgive. We're told to forgive. It's not an option, you know, as a believer. You go forgive others as well. And that's the economy, you know, of Christ. And it's not, okay, I'm going to forgive you, but now you lord it over, you know,
or don't forgive somebody else. And I think that's a real challenge for us, because we're finite. We're not infinite as he is. And so obviously it's easier for him in certain ways. We still have this special sin nature that we struggle with and that we fight every day. And so it's harder for us to do that, to forgive somebody that's really hurt us in some way or another. And yet God commands us to do that. And I think we both know that when you hold a grudge against somebody or don't, it's not hurting that person.
Mm-hmm.
It's hurting us, because we're keeping that within us. You know what I'm saying? And I think so when you finally let that go, I think that's when you feel the spirit of freedom, and man, a weight's been lifted. I don't have to, that's God's going to take care of that situation. All we got to do is let go of it and forget. You know, we're coming off Thanksgiving, and, you know, we obviously all have so much to be thankful for. And, you know, Thanksgiving is always time to just, I think, a family and spending time together, all the things you're thankful for. But getting through Thanksgiving is my favorite part of the year. I love Christmas. You know, I love Christmas, the time of year. Obviously, the reason for the season, you know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was born and, you know, came to this earth to save us. And so, you know, I guess I might just ask, you know, as a kid, if, you know, and we're all getting up there a little bit, if we can remember when we were kids anymore, maybe just one kind of really cool Christmas, maybe gift you got one time, or just a special Christmas memory from both of you guys that really something that is just above the rest of it a little bit, you know, over all the years. Sam?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that comes to mind when anybody, obviously, like you said, Mark, the reason for the season is always, you know, I always look forward to Christmas service. Yes. Whether it's, a lot of times it's usually Christmas Eve or whatever. I just always have loved that. Going back to when I was a little kid, I always feel like, you know, that's the one time you can have all your family together and everybody's quiet, respectful. And it's just, I've always enjoyed that. I always feel like a sense of sadness when the service is over, because I just like it so much. And it's really gives you an opportunity to reflect and you know, as well as be in the present with your family and celebrate the Lord, you know, and his birth. So that's always like my favorite moment from year to year. My biggest memory be something that's not very Christ-like or Christmas at all, but I remember my parents kept talking about when I was like 12, maybe even younger, talking about getting me an Atari game system when they first came out.
Yeah.
And I that's all I cared about. I didn't care about anything else that Christmas. And I remember my parents would keep the presents in a closet and they were wrapped. And I went in and kind of, you know, fidgeted with the wrapper to look and see, because I was just so excited on Christmas Eve. So, yeah, I went in and snuck a look at my present before Christmas. So, really, I never admitted that until right now. So, you know, this has been good for me to finally let it out. But
Sam, you've come clean.
I came clean, but I got the Atari, so, which I found interesting, because my dad ended up playing it almost more than I did. But yeah, that was probably my one memory, was I was just so excited to get that Atari. And I must have been younger, because it was before I got my first basketball. And then, you know, as you get older, that was really what excited you most. But yeah, the sneaking of the Atari was probably something I'm not real proud of, but it's still a cherished memory, no less.
That's awesome. What about you, Aaron? What's that one thing you are, the one surprise or that one gift that just you wanted, you just had to have, and Santa came through for you?
Well, I'll be the contrarian. I agree with Sam. Christmas Eve was always amazing at 83 Woodrow in Bedford, Ohio. My mom that was her, it was like a wedding ceremony every year. She just put everything out, all the bows, and everybody that came over after Christmas Eve service would get a gift from the tree. She'd make something new every, I mean, it was just her, you know, Super Bowl. And my dad was always busy in the kitchen, you know, keeping everything out there in the buffet on the piano. And just great memories and so many great families that would come every year, you know, looked forward to it. That was really special. But from the contrarian perspective, the one thing I always wanted was a VCR. We're really dating ourselves here, but Sam with his Atari, but I always wanted a VCR. My family was very religious. We didn't have a lot of albums in the house. We didn't have things like that. But for some reason, the very first VCR movie they got was Purple Rain by Prince. And it was almost so it was almost the last time we had a VCR. We popped it in, you know, excited to watch a movie at home. And yeah, my parents were not happy, not happy with my movie choices or music for that matter. And so, yeah, that was almost the last time we got, but they did hold on and keep the VCR for us. But thankfully I got to, you know, record Cavs games on channel 43 and watch them back. And I still have one in my basement of Ron Harper doing a 360 in a Philadelphia 76ers game. He stole the ball from Barkley and did the most amazing 360 layup I've ever seen in my life in all my years, still to this day. I have no idea how that ball went in, but yeah, so I got a VCR.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I grew up, one of my favorite all-time memories is the Christmas Eve service as well, you guys mentioned, but you know, the church I grew up in always had a big Christmas pageant that they would put on, you know, for like a week. I mean, and you know, people would come from all over, and it was basically the replicating the story of Jesus and with music and all the different things. And I just look forward to that every year. It was just, there's something about that, you know, just the story, right? The story of Christmas, the story of Joseph and Mary and the birth of Jesus was just something that it was so special, and I enjoyed all those years. And so that was a great, great, great memory for me. And my big thing is I love Christmas music. I mean, I just wait, you know, like I said, I enjoy Thanksgiving. It's a great holiday. I love it. Literally the next morning, the Christmas music starts, you know, and I know people now kind of skip over Thanksgiving. I mean, you start hearing Christmas music in November. I'm like, man, that's not right, man. That's not right. You know? But, you know, it's time to decorate, you know, it's not a Clark Griswold Christmas. You know, I'm not up on my roof putting lights up, but all the bushes and trees on the ground have lights on them. So I love decorating, and Christmas is just one of my favorite times of the year. So, you know, it's so great. But like I said, to encourage all of our listeners out there, man, everybody has their Christmas things and their favorite Christmas movies that we watch, but don't let all the stuff get in the way of remembering why we celebrate Christmas, and that's to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mark, do you have a favorite Christmas gift from childhood that you remember?
Well, I think it was the first, because, you know, it just always revolves around basketball. You know, sure. my dad was a coach, whatever, but I mean, this is talking about dating us, right? I remember getting my first leather Converse basketball shoes.
You
know?
Yeah.
And thinking, man, I have arrived. You know, I have arrived. No more Chuck Taylors.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm playing in leather out here on the court, man. You know, the high top, you know, Converse. The ones Dr. J wore, and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and all those guys. So yeah, that was probably my favorite gift ever, was the leather Converse basketball shoes.
Very neat. Yeah.
And Sam, one year I do remember I did the same thing. I stole a look at the Christmas gifts because my parents weren't very good at hiding them. It was probably the worst Christmas I've ever had, because I was like, you know, I had to act like I was surprised. They eventually found out, and so I couldn't confess. It was too late. They already found out. But I don't know. I was just thinking about that, and it's funny because I think we, to Mark's point, we kind of get into this season and we get so rushed that we want to know everything. And I just imagine when I look back at what God has for us, you know, I don't want to peek at that. I can't wait for Christmas morning for eternity, where we get to really realize the gifts that God has given us over the years, and we finally understand what all that was about, but also the one that's waiting on us, the big one. Can't wait to open the big present. Oh, I mean, yeah, I can wait. Sure. I'm not in a hurry to, you know,
pass right, away. I gotcha. Right.
you know what I'm saying? I'm not in a rush there, but I can't wait to, you know, spend eternity with the greatest gift of all.
Yeah, for sure. And I think this has really been quite a cleansing for you and I coming out to admit that we probably in the early 80s were late 70s looking at our Christmas gifts ahead of time. You know, and Mark here is Mark being the good guy, just, you know, I waited for my Converse, my leather shoes, and opened them. But yeah, for sure. I think that personally, it's always served. Christmas has always served as a reminder for me of my faith, even though I try to remind myself daily. But it's always kind of that time where it seems like at least the week leading up to Christmas or even the whole month of December, you kind of get that feeling of peace. And just, I know from a personal standpoint, you know what, just slow down a little bit. Remember the big picture. God's in control. And it's always served as a good reminder this time of year that, you know, just take a step back and appreciate the things that God has given you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Mark Price for Three podcast. Remember to subscribe, like, review, and share. I'm Josh Price, and we will talk to you again on the next episode.
You don't have to go very far looking for bad news because somehow it just finds you. So finding peace in the chaos can be really difficult, but it doesn't have to be because the River mobile app exists. The River is a Christian music radio station dedicated to playing music to help you get through life's toughest moments or life's happiest moments and everywhere in between. And all from artists who love Jesus and are real people just like you. Listening is easy. You can download it wherever you get apps from. Just search 1049 The River or listen online at riverradio.com.